Hallelujah. Praise God. In Genesis chapter 1, glory. In verse 1. Is everybody there? It's the first book of the Bible, in case you don't know. Praise God. I like getting drunk in the spirit, man. Let's read it together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What's the first thing God created? Time. It says, in the beginning, first thing he created was time. Then he created the unseen and the heavens and the seen of the natural. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, how many of y'all know that God doesn't create anything without perfection? Amen? He creates things in perfection. So there's no way that he would have created the earth without form. When he created it, he created it. It was done and over with. When he created the universe, he created it. When he created time, he created it. Believe me, God doesn't take days to create something. He's God. When he speaks, it's done. Amen? He said it was finished, it was finished. So we know that there was a time span between verse 1 and 2, and we're not going to get into it. In verse 3, it says, then God said what? Let there be light, and there was what? Light. He didn't say create light, did he? He said, let there be light, because the word, in the phrase of let there be, it means restore. Restore. So God actually restored the earth in 6 days, didn't he? And on the seventh day, he what? He rested, because he already created the universe. He already created everything. He didn't need to say, let's see, we're going to build this. He was over with. He's God. We cannot think the way man thinks. We must think the way he thinks. When he spoke, it's done. Amen? So there's something here already that he says, restored. And there are keys to restoration. And I want to talk about, because one of the things the Lord is saying, he says, I'm restoring now. I'm rebuilding. I'm doing a change in preparation. And it's preparation for his return. So let there be means to what? Restore, not create. Amen? Now, it says that the Holy Spirit was hovering, because the Holy Spirit is the restorer of what was created by the breath and word of God. Has everybody got it? So the Holy Spirit is the restorer, isn't he? Amen? In Acts chapter 3, Keys to Restoration. See, I gave you the title right away. That's pretty good, huh? Because we aren't on time of restoration. Acts chapter 3. Whew. Acts chapter 3 and verse 18. Whatever, is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? Acts chapter 3 and verse 18. You know, it's amazing when people are asking for God to restore certain things, and because it doesn't happen according to the way they expect it, they get frustrated and walk away from God, or they blame God. But there are keys of restoration. Everything takes cooperation in the kingdom of God. Without cooperation, there is no restoration. That's bottom line. And what was restored will be removed, unless there's a continuous cooperation. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 18, would you read it with me? But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be what? Converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know why some people aren't getting refreshed in God's presence? Because there hasn't been a true repentance. They're still holding something. They're holding bitterness. They're in rebellion. They're still blaming others for whatever. Whatever it may be, that refreshing only comes when you are cleansed. In verse 20, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before. In other words, Jesus is coming again. And whom heaven must receive until the times of what? Restoration. So God must restore certain things before he comes back. Until the time of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet, who is that prophet? Jesus, shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Who will not hear that prophet will be destroyed. In other words, who will not hear the voice of God, who is Jesus, will be destroyed. Verse 24. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So we see here something vitally important. There's a restoration, and there must be a restoration of all things that God has pertained and predestined before Jesus can return. Amen? Daniel 9. Now, I want you to understand that this is globally and personally. Globally and personally. In Daniel 9, in verse 25, let's speak it together. Now therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall. Even what? In troublesome times. So listen, in troublesome times, God rebuilds. Even in troublesome times, he's going to restore. It doesn't matter. Look at our country and the world is in troublesome times right now. It hasn't escalated to its max yet, but we are in troubled times. Satan's kingdom is infiltrated and taken over global government. It's happened. Now they're working together to take control, complete control of the finances, of the food, distribution, education. Health. Controlling the health system. They want to control employment. It's just a matter of time where they take full control. And it will be allowed to them. God will allow it at a certain time. It's going to happen. But I pray we're not here when it reaches its climax. But if we are, we got a job to do. Amen? People will be put in prison, and people will be killed for disobeying what they have to say. The nations will be put under martial law. Many will be put under Islamic martial law. That's what the move is right now. But I'm telling you that regardless of what the world looks like and what's going on, we don't belong to the world. We don't belong to this government. We are under an eternal government, an eternal kingdom that's eternal. This place is temporary. They can play all the games they want. And one day they're going to stand before my dad. And he's going to give them a Holy Ghost whipping. And it's going to burn for a long time. That's why he says it's time for repentance. It's time to get our houses in order. It's time. Because time is running out. You know, we talked about this again, and I want to share with you the vital importance about what's happening. Because the whirlwind has already been released. The first whirlwind has been released, and there's three whirlwinds. And the first one is talking about help. It had the label of help on it. When I had that vision a couple, last week or whatever. And the first vision, I saw the whirlwind. The first one said, help. And the second one said, sacrifice. And the third one said, provision. And the first whirlwind was to help because God was going to push back the enemy. He was going to push back the enemy. And the second whirlwind was going to come and he was saying, I've noticed, I've acknowledged your sacrifices, and I'm picking up your requests. And I saw him picking up the requests. And then the third whirlwind was coming and it was releasing provision to his people. But the provision wasn't just about financial. There was weapons being released. There were strategies. There was maps. There was blueprints. There's all kinds of things being released for building, restoring, for attack. Word says that the heavens are taken. We're taking it violently. Taking it by violence. That means you got to push your way and enforce. Not physical, spiritual. You know, Satan does most of his work physically from the spirit realm. But we do it in the spirit because we're not temporary, we're eternal. Even Satan's temporary. Hello. Hallelujah. So Daniel was spoken. He said, look, there's going to be a restoration during troublesome times, which we are now, right now in. It's not, again, the fullness of times, but it's troublesome times. So there's going to be a restoring. All of that has to happen. It must happen. So the first thing he must do, he's pushing darkness back. He's pushing what? Darkness back. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. He's restoring a people that are about the kingdom. Unifying. Those who are about the kingdom, there are those who are about the kingdom and those who are about self. Do you know how many people do not even realize what time we're in? They're so caught up in their own selves that they don't even realize what time they're in. They're so caught up in their jobs and making money and doing this and doing whatever and that they're losing sight of what time we're in. See, we labor unto the Lord. Amen? We labor unto the Lord. Why? So that the finances can be for provision to expand the kingdom. It doesn't mean we can't be blessed. Amen? God wants to bless us. He doesn't want us to live impoverishedly. He came to bring life and life abundantly. But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he has access to those areas where it's not under the blood. See, only the things of God, only the things of his will is under the blood. So if you're doing something that's not under the blood, the devil has access to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. And it says what? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore means if you what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them. Become reconciled. See, the first key to restoration is reconciliation. That means be reconnected. When something is reconciled, it's reconnected. You cannot receive restoration without reconciliation. That is the first key. And I'm talking about reconnecting in the area of getting things right. You reconnect. That's why we must reconnect every morning. So we must maintain an area of being connected, don't we? Amen? So we're to reconnect. That's through reconciliation. So the first thing we must do is get reconciled for restoration. Again, the three whirlwinds was, we talked about the help and sacrifice and provision. God was going to push back the enemy. Amen? He's going to reconcile. He's going to reconcile to restore. Has everybody got it? Because even in restoration, there is provision. There's provision. So please grab hold of this today, that the Lord is going to push back the enemy. He's going to promote reconciliation to be reconnected so that restoration can be established. There, I'm going to just talk about two keys, and these are keys of restoration. The first key is reconciliation, and the second key is obedience. Because without reconciliation and obedience, there will be no restoration. In obedience, there must be a continuation. You must continue. Always continue. You must be faithful. You must be faithful to maintain connection, and you must be faithful to obey. You must be faithful to make connection, and you must be faithful to obey. No matter what, you are not a God, you are not a man pleaser, you're a God pleaser. Amen? And we get tested on this daily. And there are areas where we get tested when we don't even know we're getting tested. Matthew 17. Do you remember when the Lord shared about the faithful stewards and unfaithful stewards and the individuals that said, you know, he said, look at, you've been faithful, you know, because you fed, you visited, you clothed, you did this, you went to the prisons. And then the other ones, he said, you know, because you didn't do these things and because you didn't do this, because you didn't do this. And they said, well, what do you mean? When didn't we do this? See, they didn't even see it. They didn't even acknowledge it or recognize it because they were blinded by the ways of the world. In Matthew 17, verse 10, let's speak it together. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will what? Restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. In other words, the Bible says that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. Has everybody got it? So when Jesus said he's come already, it's because John the Baptist came, didn't he? But what was John the Baptist's ministry? His ministry was to what? Reconcile. Reconnect. Repent. Repent. Repent for reconnecting. Why? So that things could be restored. Amen? Repent. See, so Elijah has come first. He came in John the Baptist. John was really reconciling or reconnecting the lost. The word lost means living outside salvation's truth. Living outside salvation's truth. Hallelujah. So again, John really was coming to reconcile or reconnect the lost to be restored or be made new. So when, I'm going to use a vehicle in this. If you saw a vehicle that whatever and it and you wanted this vehicle, well, you'd have to purchase it, wouldn't you? That's what Jesus did. He purchased us. And then, so he had to reconcile it, didn't he, to himself. You have to reconcile it. That's mine. Connect. And now he said, I'm going to restore it. And the purpose of restoring is to bring to its original state of being or make new. Has everybody got it? So when you and I were reconciled to God through salvation, because salvation is about salvage. Took something that was a piece of junk, which we were. He salvaged us, and it began to, after he reconciled us, he began to restore, make new, make new. And he began to provide everything needed to make new. What a glorious Father. Hallelujah. In Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, hallelujah. Verse 1, would you read it with me? Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, what? Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be what? Tempted. Bear one another's burdens and be what? And so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. So here it's an area of restoring an individual who's been in sin. Amen? But first he must be what? Reconciled. He must be reconciled before he can be restored. Everything must be reconciled before restored. Because restored is associated with making new. But you got to bring it to the body shop first. You got to bring it to the place of restoration first. In Romans 5, hallelujah. Keys to restoration, which is reconciliation and obedience. Romans 5, and verse 6, would you read it with me? For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than that, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Again, there must be reconnecting first, isn't there? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as though one man sinned, sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, and even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. So in this, we have been pre-justified, in other words, to be reconciled. God chose us. Again, it says, the Bible says, we have been saved by grace. But grace is God's plan, so without cooperation with grace, you can't be saved. So without cooperation with his plan, you can't be saved. So in this, when we break covenant with God or something occurs, there's that area where you and I must maintain the reconciliation. Reconcile, reconcile, reconnect, reconnect. So if we stay connected all the time, are we going to fall away? No. You know, a while ago, I saw when the Lord was about to rebuild, I saw like a rock come out of the earth. And in this rock that came out of the earth, people were standing on it. It was a huge, like a huge crater, or huge, just this huge rock. And it started coming out of the earth, and I saw people rolling off. And this rock, this massive rock, was associated with the foundation of God. And people were rolling off. And I saw others who chained themselves to the rock, no matter what, and they held on. They were chained. They said, I don't care where, I am not being moved. I will chain myself to the foundation of Christ. And there's a choice that we have to make at times. Are you really chained to the rock, or are you one who rolls off all the time and has to get back on? See, there are things in our life that are not options. There's no justifications. There's not options. There's not an option to go back. There's not an option to shake hands with the world again and say, okay. You cannot forgive the world. That's one thing you don't have to forgive. You can walk away from its ways. Listen, so many times we're trying to make things happen. And then I'm not saying that God doesn't use us to make things happen. Amen? Because he does. And there's that time when we must endure, endure, endure. Because he's faithful. Amen? But if you're not connected, no matter what you do, isn't going to fall into place. Especially if you're proclaiming to be a believer. If you're not maintaining that connection and restoring you in a new image and likeness of Christ, provisions will be held. They'll be withheld. Because God won't back you. God doesn't back ungodliness. God does not back disorder. God does not back rebellion. He will not back it, no matter what you try to do. You can go to work, try to promote something, do, and you will only say it at a certain limitation, because the devil is always stealing until you finally choose to let go, let God get reconciled, and get in divine order, because that is required. That's why right now, it's an opportunity. This is an open window. This is an open opportunity right now, because he's pushing back your enemy and giving you a chance to reconnect, get reconciled, and restored. This is the time right now. I don't know how long this will last. I have no idea what's what, but I'm telling you, now is the time. Amen? Praise be to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Verse 17, would you read it with me, please? Therefore, if what? Anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has what? Reconciled us to himself. He's reconnected us to him, right? Through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. So we have a ministry of connecting individuals to God. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of what? Reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be what? Reconciled to God. Be reconnected. Get reconnected. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become righteousness, the righteousness of God in him. We have the ministry of reconciliation, that is the area of reconnecting to restore, so an individual could be made new. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. What are the keys of restoration? reconciliation and obedience. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. Let's speak it together. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If, see the word if? What's that mean? Cooperation. If what? If indeed you what? Continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which we have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a what? A minister. Wow. Keys of restoration is reconciliation and obedience. In Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We must be kingdom people, and that's the kingdom of Christ. Psalm 51, verse 11. Let's speak it together. Psalm 51, verse 11. Do not what? Cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your what? Hallelujah. He said restore. In other words, make new. And uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will what? Teach transgressors your ways and sinners to be converted to you. See, this is a divine order process, isn't it? Reconnect, restore, share about it. That's your testimony. Share about it. Restore the joy of my salvation. In his presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So who doesn't want you to get into corporate worship? Amen. You know how many believers there that still don't get it?
Oh, God knows my heart.
Yeah, he sees it's in the devil's hand. Want everything, but not willing to do everything. Those are the ones that he says they pray but don't obey. Isaiah 49. Not only that, you know, one of the most important things is to be an example. An example. You know that people are looking at you because you proclaim to be a Christian? So we've got to examine ourselves. Am I really an example? Am I an example of what would please Christ? Again, you know one of the things I see missing now? Those bracelets that say, what would Jesus do? I don't see people wearing them no more. You know why? Because they don't want to do what Jesus would do. Man, those things were everywhere. All believers were wearing. Yeah, what would Jesus do? Yeah, man. They said, oh, I can't do that. It's too much conviction. They're the ones that glow in the night. You know, you just wake up in the night. Oh, what would Jesus do? Ah! I mean, people started. I don't see them no more. Nobody wears them. What would Jesus do? What happened to them? Did the enemy infiltrate the manufacturing company or what? Did the person that owned it turn to the devil? That he's changed. I haven't seen one that even says, I would like to do what Jesus did. Or I used to do what Jesus did. Man, we need to print more of those out. But I don't see that anymore. What would Jesus do? Because the enemy is infiltrating in that area and losing, separating that conviction in the area of what would Jesus do? See, he loves to pull away from us the fear of God. And the Bible says that the wisdom is what? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Hello. See, so wisdom has got to do with discernment. Wisdom plus understanding equals discernment. So people aren't discerning what is really pleasing God. They're more discerning of what's pleasing themselves, even in the kingdom. But he says, let it be, because I'll separate it at the end. Isaiah 49 and verse 7. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nations abhors, to the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation, I have what? Helped you. And is he doing that right now? That's the first whirlwind. Help. Pushing back the enemy. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the what? Earth. To cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. That you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pasture shall be on the desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, nor heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by the springs of water, he will guide them. This is what's happening right now. That's why he's pushing back. He's pushing back the enemy so that it can be a reconnect, a restoration, a brand new, and a provision provided. You know, one of the things that happens in a war zone is they can have the weapons but run out of ammunition. See, you might have weapons, but are they staying loaded? You know, your greatest weapon is your tongue. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. You can slice somebody's throat, poke their eyes out. You can hurt somebody with your words. But we're not supposed to hurt people with our words. We're supposed to use the ammunition of the Word of God to destroy Satan's kingdom and call fire down on his high places. There's a war going on, and if you're not in the war, if you're not in the battle, you will be a casualty. There's no doubt about it. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go to Jeremiah 30. Oh, hallelujah. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. Rejoice in the Lord. I say rejoice and be anxious for nothing. In verse 16, Jeremiah 30, verse 16. Let's speak it. Therefore, all those who devour you shall be what? Devoured. And all of your adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder. And all who prey upon you, I will make a prey. For I will restore what? Health to you. Hello? If you're in a place of restoration after it's been reconnect, guess what? Listen. When the Lord released the Israelites from Egypt, they all got healed. Not one of them left there lame. They left there healed and their pockets full of cash, man. They left there with the gold and the cattle and everything. Everybody got healed as they walked out of there. For I will restore health to you. Did God restore them? But first they had to get what? Reconciled. I'll restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Those are even areas of afflictions to your soul. Because they called on you, and they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. Oh, hallelujah. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be built upon its own mound, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them, and they shall not be diminished. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be what? Small. Their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all who oppress them. Ooh. Their nobles shall be from among them, and their governor shall come from their midst. Then I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach me. For who is this who pledged his heart to approach me, says the Lord? You shall be my people, and I will be your God. In Joel, chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. You know, so many people want to know where we're at right now. This is where we're at. This is the time and season we are in right now. So turn to your neighbor and say, where are you at? In Joel chapter 2, in verse 25, yes. Remember, restore means to what? Make new. Make new. Can you make new without provision? No. Let's speak it. Verse 25. So I'll restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Hallelujah. Now some people are going, I didn't see any locusts eating anything of mine. Hello. That's what the devil has stolen from you, just in case. You know, the Bible talks about John in the wilderness. John the Baptist, he said that he ate locusts and honey. The word locust there means they were nuts. See, John had his own cereals called Nut and Honey. That's where it came. Hallelujah. It wasn't locust and honey, it was nut and honey. Hallelujah. Verse 25, let's get back to this, okay? So I will what? Restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, the chewing locusts. My great army which I send among you. Hello, do you know that there's a great army around us right now? There's an army of the Lord that's around us. Not only that we are the army in the natural realm, but there's a great army around us in the spirit realm that's fighting on our behalf. Every one of us is assigned a minimum of 2,000 angels, and one angel can kill 180,000 people. So what you worried about? Get your eyes off yourself and see beyond the natural. Hallelujah. Verse 26, come on, speak it with me. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wonderfully with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Wow. Now look at this in the next part. He says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. See, first there's got to be reconciliation. Connect. Connect. Then he pours out. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is the one who's the what? Restorer. So that means he's the one who's the provider. He's the comforter. He brings everything. He restores healing. He's the carrier of the anointing. He says, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. We're in those days. And you and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. We're seeing it. You know, we were coming home from a service a couple weeks ago, and I was driving. All of a sudden, I saw this thing flash over us. And I'm thinking, and Gary was with me. I said, did you see that? And he said, yeah. Couldn't find out it was a meteor. Yeah. It was a meteor. Went whew, right along. Shoo. And we're here inside. I was looking outside last night. I'm going, you know, Lord, I just walked from one of the houses, and I just happened to look up, and all of a sudden I saw another one. Whew. I'm thinking, man, things are happening. Things are happening. There are signs in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, and blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. How many of you have ever seen a moon blood? The blood moon. Yeah, man. I mean, it's happened already a few times. Before the coming and the great and awesome day of the Lord. So these signs are coming. Does everybody got it? They're here right now before the Lord's return. So again, the first world one has already been released. It's happening. It will increase, 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 and push back your enemies. It's an opportunity for reconciliation so that there's restoration, provision. Oh, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion, in the Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. And the Lord has said among the remnant of whom the Lord calls. Oh, hallelujah. So everybody got it? Ephesians 4. So you're going to quit? You're going to fight or run? You know, when I was a young kid and I was in sports, and I was really young, and I was very small at that time. And my brother was an athlete, and he used to get me, come on, get in there and play football. And I'd go in there and play football. And there was something he used to say to me, are you going to be a man or a mouse? And so it used to irritate me. And I'd say, I'll be a man. He said, get out there and kill him. This is how he taught me how to play football. And he used to run up and down the sidelines, get him, kill him, get him. And I used to, as best I could, until they outgrew me. And it was difficult. So I had to move very fast. You see, you have to just utilize another strategy. In Ephesians chapter 4, but just those words alone, are you going to be a man or a mouse? You know, the Lord wants to know. Are we going to be servants of man or servants of God? Who are we going to serve? Are we going to wimp and cry and over every little thing that doesn't go our way? Are we going to grumble and complain? Are we going to shake off the ways of the world and put on Christ? Don't look at what somebody else is doing or what they've done or haven't done. You examine yourself. Take out the National Grand Forest in your eye. Then you can take out the trunk in the other. Amen? Ephesians 4. Is everybody there? Verse 20. It says, but you have not what? So learn Christ. If indeed you have heard from him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which goes corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man who was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So whose responsibility is that? Ours. Ours. Listen, God is allowing this right now. He's opening the door to push back the enemy so that there can be reconciliation, restoration, provision. And Colossians 3, I'm going to close here. What's the keys of restoration? First key is reconciliation. The second key is obedience. That's an area where we continue. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Hello. So when he appears, you know what? You're coming with him. Why? Because when this happens, you're not here. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, slandering. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is in all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be what? Thankful. An attitude of gratitude. Quit looking at what you don't have or what you haven't gotten yet, and be thankful what we have. You know, Jesus said something to me a while ago, use what you have and then I'll give you more. Use it up. And if you don't use what you have, I won't give you more. Hello. Keys to restoration is first reconciliation and obedience. We are in the season right now. The door is open. We must get in. We know what's happening. We see it worldly. It's not about us. It's about Him. But it's about His kingdom. We must be about kingdom business at whatever cost. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. We give You all the glory and honor and praise. We ask that You protect this seed that's been imparted and let it grow and bear fruit for Your glory. Let us not be those who just pray and disobey, but those who pray and obey. Let there be a reconciliation established and maintained that we may fall into Your grace and mercy and provision to be about Your business in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.